Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am your host, Kate Romero of Spiritual Hollywood. Hollywood, actually. I just heard Reverend Michael Beckwith over the Easter weekend during Easter service day. I got my tongue tied around my eye teeth and I couldn't see what I was saying. Well, I think that just happened to me. So I just want to give some gratitude to Don and Seth over at BBS Radio and just the BBS Radio Network and all the great work that it's doing for humanity, for raising consciousness, and just what's to come with BBS Radio is very, very exciting. And I have, speaking of exciting, a great guest tonight. And her name is Joan C. King. She is an author and a speaker, and her website is cellular-wisdom.com, and I'll spell that, C-E-L-L-U-L-A-R, wisdom, it's hyphen, and then W-I-S-D-O-M.com. I have so much to say about Joan. I don't know where to start. In 55 minutes is hardly even enough time to give you an example of her work. So I will read a bit from Joan's bio and hope this gives you some insights. Joan King's life path embodies the blending of the hard and noetic sciences. At the tender age of 17, she stepped into life at the Dominican convent in her hometown of New Orleans, Louisiana. 11 years later, she left that religious training to become a chemist, then received a PhD in neuroscience and psychology. Her 20-year tenure as professor at Tufts University School of Medicine led her to a dynamic crossroads of personal self-discovery. She left academia. Her newfound inner knowing ignited the writing of her book, Cellular Wisdom. It became the foundation in understanding how our bodies model the teachings of our beliefs. Joan King's blending of science and spirituality birthed her professional coaching business, Beyond Success, in 1998. Today, Joan is helping others apply these same dynamics for women and men in relationships and business as a professional certified coach. As an author, Joan is finishing her work with Cellular Wisdom in the forthcoming titles of Cellular Wisdom for Women and Inner Workbook, Cellular Wisdom for Relationships and Inner Workbook, and Cellular Wisdom for Business and Inner Workbook. So without further ado, I'm so excited to bring on Joan C. King. Hello, Joan.
Hi, Kate.
Hi.
Nice to talk to you this evening.
Nice to talk to you, too. I tell you, I'm living by the seat of my pants. I literally walked in about 3 minutes before this interview started. So, but I'm just so very, very excited to have our listeners find out more about you today. Your Cellular Wisdom workbook is such a godsend, and how you blend science and spirituality together to amplify our best parts really is, I mean, it's clear to me that you're a vessel being used in a mighty way.
Well, thank you. I love the perspective, because when I was a scientist doing wet lab work, it was driven by wanting to know the secrets of how cells worked. But I never had time to think.
Mm.
After I left academia and I began writing and coaching, I had time to consider, what if I completely missed the deeper message? What if I had heard this old legend, and the legend was that the American Indians knew the white man was coming, and so they said, where should we hide our wisdom? Because certainly they will destroy it. And so they went around, well, we'll hide it in the mountains. Oh, no, they'll find it there. We'll hide it in the ocean. Oh, no, they'll find it there. And the conversation went on with similar results. Oh, no, they'll find it there. Until one very old, wise elder said, I know. We'll put it inside.
Mm.
They'll never find it there. And that story made me begin to think, what if our bodies were something so much more than what we take them to be, as simple vehicles to get around in this material world? What if they are the teacher of how we can thrive, as an individual, the way cells thrive as an individual, how we can thrive in intimate relationships, the way cells do that connect each other, how we can thrive in communities the way cells, tissues, and organs form systems, and different systems with completely different molecules to communicate with and completely different methods of communicating all exist in harmony in the normal, healthy body. And that set me on this quest for the secrets of cellular wisdom.
Very, very good. So basically, if you don't go within, you're going to go without.
Well, if you go without, you're going to get everybody else's answers, and they're not going to be yours.
Well,
they're going to be other people's interpretation of the world the way they see it, but it's not coming out of your essence.
And your authenticity.
That's correct, and your authenticity.
Right. And what I have found in working the Cellular Wisdom Workbook, you know, as Vice President of Visionary Talent at Stellar Communications, I make sure that when we get a new client, I absolutely dive right into their products to see exactly how they work for me. And I must say that the Cellular Wisdom Workbook for Women has been such a godsend for me in so many ways. It's like you can think that you have it all going on and finally your life is making sense for the very first time, and you can think that you've arrived and that you're finally feeling that uncaused joy and you're finally standing in joy regardless of what's going on around you, and you can think that and then start doing this workbook and find out that you just barely touched the tip of the iceberg of your greatness. And what I'm discovering for myself is this book, I know a lot of self-improvement books and self-help books and things like that will point to where your flaws are for you to get them into your awareness so you can set about making changes. Your book does not do that.
No.
Your book mines like a fantastic gold mine that bears all kinds of fruit, exactly where your greatness is hiding,
right,
and squeezes it out of there,
right,
and shines a light on it,
right,
and brings it to the surface. And I don't know about anybody else, but for me going through this workbook, if I use the metaphor of a giant pile of gold in my living room that wasn't there before I started, there sure is one now.
Fabulous.
And you know, I didn't know that I didn't know all these things about myself that I was not looking at, all the things that are great about me that were in my blind spot. And I don't come from ego when I say that.
No, I know that.
I come from the greatness we were all born to be, that person that you were born to be as your birthright, which is using all of your wonderful best parts, which is who you are and all of who you are. And your workbook actually, for me, shows me how to transmute things about myself that I keep thinking are maladies that I need to fix, because we all go through that. There isn't a person on the planet, I don't think, maybe Dalai Lama's over it, but I know most of us still feel like there are maladies that we need to fix that we secretly keep working on. And if it doesn't come from a place of authenticity of, I want to improve myself and expand myself rather than fix something that's broken, then you're just chasing your tail. Your book shows you how to have compassion and love for yourself in a way that inspires you and motivates you to transmute things about yourself, like thinking poorly of yourself, like we all do that too, like,
right,
oh, just like, oh, how could I be so stupid? Why did I say that thing?
Right.
Well, your workbook trains the mind in a wonderful way not to just go to that place about yourself. It trains your mind to go, wait a minute, that didn't feel so good. I just hurt myself. I don't think I'm going to do that again.
Right.
Ouch. And the great thing about that is getting into your awareness the places where you're not loving yourself, and shows you all the reasons that you need to love yourself,
right,
and that you deserve to love yourself, and that you're lovable, and that if we're not loving ourselves, then we can't really expect anyone else to love us. And like you said, if If you stay without and don't go within, then you're living your life through everybody else's perspective and not your own, correct?
Exactly. And the bad thing about that, or let's turn the coin because I always like to talk about the good side of things, mm-hmm. is that we already have everything that we need. It comes to us moment by moment through the life force that keeps us alive. So that when we aren't honoring ourselves, we aren't bringing forth more and more of who we already are, but maybe haven't discovered yet. And so the wonderful thing about my understanding of this is it's never over. It's not like we're a pie that's in the oven and it's baked and it's done. We'll never be done. Consciousness continues to expand into more and more dimensions of being. And as a neuroscientist, I can tell you that we're not very aware of so much of what we know. There is so much that we know that's not come to the level of consciousness. It's a pre-verbal learning. Mm-hmm. It's a pre-verbal knowledge. And it's the kind of thing like when you walk into a room and you meet somebody you've never met before, but you know you're going to like them.
Mm-hmm.
There's that, it's a recognition at some level of connection.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need that level of recognition of connection of ourselves because there's more of us than we have ever experienced. There's more yet to be experienced. I like very much, there's a quote that I like from a psychologist. His name is Theodore Rosak.
Mm-hmm.
And his quote is that nothing we ever imagined is beyond our powers, only beyond our present self-knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're putting ourselves down, it's like we take the lens of consciousness, which can be opened up to a wide-angled lens and take in galaxy after galaxy of the universe. But when we start looking at our faults, it's like taking that lens and pulling it down until all you see is the level of the fault about the size of a pea. And so when you do that, you're dishonoring yourself and you're not allowing for the circumstance to bring forth more and more of who you are.
Right, right. And the quote that you read is exactly what I said about until you have knowledge of your expanded self, you can't possibly use it. And until you give yourself permission to believe that it exists, you can't possibly.
And Kate, I think that is a major secret, giving yourself permission.
Right.
Because our society, in terms of the culture that we promote, is very judgmental. If you are not this size dress or you're not this size suit or if your head is somewhat bald and not filled with hair or if you're that all of these characteristics people judge themselves by, not
mm-hmm.
only other people, but themselves, and they fail to look beneath the observable world to see the radiance of their being.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the light. I can remember in grade school, I thought this girl was really pretty. And then we had our yearbook pictures for the end of the year, and I saw her picture, and she wasn't pretty at all.
Wow.
What was beautiful about her was her energy, and it lit her face.
Mm.
But when you just saw the structure of her still face, there wasn't anything pretty about her. And it kind of shook me even back then. What's the difference? And the difference was when she was being who she was, that authenticity lit the light from inside, and it shone. And it led her completely. And that's what we do when we give ourselves permission to be all that we can be.
Wow. I can totally, totally relate with that. And I'm also, as a life coach, when I coach people, the first thing I ask them to do is to think about their higher self. And they'll say, yeah, I know about my higher self. And I'll say, well, what do you know about your higher self? It's just, well, I know that when I'm paying attention to my higher self, I tend to have a lot of flow in my life and gratitude. And I said, okay, what if you referred to your higher self as your knower? And, you know, they kind of go, as my knower. Okay. I said, so what if any question, no matter how small, no matter how tiny, like deciding what flavor of iced tea to get or whatever it is, the most minor decision, what if you checked in with your knower? And they'll be like, wow, well, I guess that would be interesting. It's a new way to think. And I said, yeah. I said, if you were to name your knower, like, what would you call your inner child, let's say? What would you name your inner child? And I say, quit, don't think, just do it. Don't even edit, just trust yourself. Say the name and write it down. Mm-hmm. And when they do that, I say, what if you named your knower that name? And you just called upon that name anytime that you needed to make a choice or a decision, and you were struggling with what's right or wrong or the path for you to take. Because oftentimes insecurities jump in when we don't love ourselves to the level that we could. And so choices are very hard to make. We you know, that's how we end up in these kinds of relationships that we end up getting divorces from and breakups. And, you know, there are lessons in everything, of course, and wisdom to be gained everywhere. And if a person were to come from their higher self, which means they go within and they really get to know and trust their authentic self, mm-hmm. and name their knower. My knower is named Marvin Masters, and I say that I'm getting my master's degree from Marvin Masters. And it just feels like I'm channeling all day long all kinds of wisdom about anything in front of me, no matter if I'm driving a car, listening to a voicemail, typing an email, whatever it is. It comes in and it assists me automatically because I've trained myself to do it. And with cellular wisdom, applying this kind of concept that I use in my life and in my coaching, when your body mirrors the beliefs, when you break it down, Joan, into the cellular system and you use the imagery and the metaphors of fallopian tubes and eggs and progesterone coming to support and, mm-hmm. and your body automatically knows how to take care of you and automatically replaces cells that disappear because another activity in your body has just happened.
That's right.
You don't have to order your body to do that. You don't have to tell your kidney how to kid. You don't have to even think about it.
And that's one of the reasons I often suggest when I'm working with clients in a coaching relationship or I'm training coaches is don't ask the how question.
Right.
That's the wrong question.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you know the what and if you know the who, the how will happen.
And the why.
And the why comes out of such a deep place. One of the things I love to do in coaching is to begin the entire coaching process with looking at your purpose in life.
Right.
And my purpose in life is to freshly and expansively unfold my decision to love and help people evoke their greatness. And I know that if I do whatever I'm going to do from that energy, that I'm just living from that higher place, and I'm being my higher self, and I'm bringing forth more and more of my greatness as I go about doing it. And the how will certainly take care of itself. You will, just like in the body, there's this enormous synchrony of events that's like an orchestra that's conducted to allow things to move and certain relationships to let nerve endings get in contact with blood vessels just when we need to secrete hormones for women to ovulate.
Mm-hmm.
And it constantly has this immaculate precision. So the universe knows how to make things happen. The issue is the consistency of focus. So much of the time, we say we want this. Oh, no, I don't want that. I want it this way. Oh, no, I don't want it that way. I want it the other way. Well, it isn't surprising that the revelation of that occurring, the synchronicities don't happen because you're constantly giving mixed commands. The one thing the body knows how to do is consistently focus. Muscle cells do what muscle cells do. They don't try to be bone cells. They don't try to be blood cells. They don't say, oh, well, neurons are so much more sophisticated. I want to be a neuron. they do what they do that's appropriate to them. And in doing, they bring forth their magnificence. And we need them all, because if we had all neurons, there would be no ability to walk and talk, even though you think so, because you need the muscles to be able for the neurons to connect with, to cause the muscle to contract, and then you need the bone to be able to have the rigidity to move the body part. So every part is as important as every other part. And that synchronicity is something that we can really rely upon. It's real. You might not be able to see it, but once you focus on how you're going to bring forth more of who you are, forget the how, it will start to happen. Consistently keep the focus on that, and it will.
I totally get that, and I know it to be true. I have a term for belief system. I call it BS. because it is sometimes when you're believing bad things about yourself, it's total BS. And if you shift the BS around, it's going to serve you instead of disempower you. And it takes training. And this workbook is a really great trainer. It's like having a personal coach in private, you know. And it's
yes.
A wonderful, you know, I've been wanting to meditate for about even 5 minutes every morning and just set the tone for my day.
Mm-hmm.
Cellular wisdom is my meditation. I go through 3 pages at a minimum,
mm-hmm.
and there have been times where I've gone through 8 mm-hmm. and just had a quantum leap. And that sets the tone for my day. I mean, talk about mind candy for my day. It's like every single thing that shows up in my day is a lesson for what I just wrote about that morning.
Yes. Yes.
And it's amazing how when you have something in your mind, you attract it.
Of course you do.
So why not have good things in your mind?
Exactly. And I think the reason that cellular wisdom for women is so poignant for women is that it comes out of my experience, first of myself,
mm-hmm.
and then of my coaching clients. So the titles of the chapters come, I mean, early in my life, I decided I wasn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so for years, I had to achieve, because I had to prove to myself that I was good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so the chapter titles reflect things that I've, topics that I've seen stop women, either professionally or personally.
Mm-hmm.
And then I particularly unfold the principles of cellular wisdom to give new perspectives, to shine new light on that, so it doesn't have to stop us.
Right, right. And to amplify your best parts, when you learn to do that for yourself,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to do that in all of your relationships.
Absolutely. It's not like we're such holistic beings, but we don't look at ourselves that way.
Right.
It's like you can't be one person to yourself and a different person in this relationship, and a different person in that relationship, and a different person at work, and a different person in your community. Because if you do that, sooner or later, you're going to be so fragmented that you fall apart.
Right.
So when you start to have the single focus of actually allowing all of your greatness to come forth, and it's not in an egoistic way, because
right.
you can't make your contribution to the world unless you allow your greatness to come out, because
right.
it's going to come out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't let your greatness come out, all the rest of the world will suffer, because no one can make that contribution that you can make.
And also, I agree with you 100% on that. And also, the thing is, too, Joan, I think you might concur with this, is that what is actually a person's greatness, they're looking at as a flaw.
Oftentimes,
and all the time. And I, as a talent manager, you know, not to make it all about me, but as a talent manager and representing actors, I teach them, and the first thing I'll tell them in a seminar is, what if the very thing that you don't want anybody to know about you, that your deepest, darkest secret about you, that's your greatest flaw, what if that was your greatest gift? What if you lived your life believing that to be so? And I'm telling you, the whole room breaks down in tears. We have 30-second define yourself pitches where they each get up after they think about that and talk about what their flaw is.
Mm-hmm.
And 100% of the time, it's a wonderful attribute that they have that they're hiding.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't know that this thing that's great about them is what's great about them. They think it's a flaw, and they treat it like a flaw, and they hide it like a flaw. And it's not a flaw at all. Some people are scared that they're too sensitive because they cry over dog food commercials, and I'm raising my hand really high when I say that.
Me too. My husband
one of them.
Nobody else can cry within a 30-second commercial. I can.
I can, too, and a lot of people can, and they'll hide it. Just
yeah.
Like, oh, I'm okay. I had something in my eye.
Right.
Well, it's okay to own that you're sensitive. You're alive. You're living in this physical body for a reason. And if you don't fulfill your purpose and live your fingerprint, then you're ripping off the world. And what the heck are you doing here?
Correct.
So, you know, it's like what you're helping people do, Joan, as a facilitator, as a midwife, is you're rebirthing people into their greatness at whatever age they are right now, starting from right where they are right now, no matter what their life is.
Absolutely.
Right now.
Absolutely.
And they can live full out, absolutely, without holding anything back right from where they are, simply by saying, what do I have to lose? Why not just dive into this?
Exactly.
And
you're
I know
right.
we've gotten lots of great testimonials about your work, and I'm not the only one who's singing your praises. And, you know, as a talent manager, I would never, ever, as an actress, I would never, ever, ever do a commercial for something I didn't believe in.
Right.
I just wouldn't.
Right.
It's an integrity issue for me. And I wouldn't promote an actor who I didn't believe in. And I wouldn't promote a book I didn't believe in. And I really, really am so blessed to have discovered Cellular Wisdom for Women that I hope every woman listening right now will go to cellular-wisdom.com. And take a look around there. And is your book available for sale on your website? I haven't
yes,
looked at
it. Yes, it is.
It is?
Mm-hmm. It says on the Cellular Wisdom website, there's a button that says Purchase Products.
Wonderful.
And if you purchase it from me, you'll get a signed copy.
Wonderful. What a treat. And you know, I just really want to strongly say that for me, this book, and if anyone values any words that come out of my mouth, this book really will set you free in ways that you will not expect, and you won't know until you try it. So, I mean, if you're not worth what this book costs, then call me. I'm going to talk to you about that.
$20. Yes.
Yeah. If you're not worth $20, then I want to know why. Truly. That's almost three coffees.
That's right.
Truly, I mean, isn't that sad that a coffee costs $5?
Yes, it is.
Well, the kind I like costs $5.
Yes, me
yeah,
too.
I like the soy mochas. So you know, it's just it's such a joy, Joan, to know that you're in the world and to experience your work and to experience your life experience channeled through your work, and the fact that you were a Dominican nun
yeah.
for those years that you were is so endearing to me. I know for me, when I was nine, I watched The Nun Story with Audrey Hepburn.
Yes. I watched that when I was a nun, by the way.
Did you really? Well, when I was nine, I saw that, The Nun Story, and I wanted to marry God so very much that I begged and pleaded and cried to please, please let me be a nun. And I was, here's the big joke, I was born to an atheist family. So now I have spiritual Hollywood and you can't shut me up. So you know, it's like you can't repress me for long. And it's so endearing to me that you were a Dominican nun. It just tells me your heart and your soul is purely to serve, and you know why you're here, and to have gotten into science and to have these very prestigious degrees and the academia that you've scaled to the heights of and then left because you had an inner knowing that there was something more you were supposed to do.
I was going to dry up and die inside if I stayed.
Absolutely. I read the stories about it.
Yeah.
You know, you were a human doing. You were not a human being.
Right.
And you can't thrive in that atmosphere, and you're serving no one when you live like that.
That's right.
And if you're not happy, then you're not serving your purpose here. I mean, I certainly believe that, you know, it's not only our constitutional right to be happy, it's our obligation. Because the best gift we can give to ourselves, others, and the world is our happiness. Because when you're vibrating happiness, you're igniting it in other people. It's contagious.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you can take the most depressed, angry person, as long as they're a little bit stable mentally, and just be happy around them, and eventually they'll just kind of join in. It might take some time, and once they feel safe to do it, they will.
Yes. It is, I believe, our default condition is happiness. And I think that if we would allow ourselves those moments during the day to just slip into the deeper energy of who we are, to stop doing anything, just for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And just allow the peace and the joy that really bubbles up through being, just out of our own life force, then you can begin to become a lover of yourself.
Yes.
As well as a knower.
Yep.
Yeah.
And being a knower is to be a lover.
That's right.
Of yourself.
Yes.
And I was just, I had the busies yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and I was just, you know, I'm a big multitasker, and I've got 5 different things that I do and hats that I wear, and looking for 6 or 7 more to wear. And my new husband, John, looked at me, and he said, "Honey, can you just be here with me right now for just a moment? Just be with your husband for just a moment, and just look into my eyes and just be with me here for just a moment." And I was like, "What? Huh? What?" and I looked into that beautiful face and those beautiful blue eyes, and I just went, "I don't remember anything beyond this right now."
Right.
Yeah, I just let it go, and I don't even know what I was spinning out over. And he just completely centered me and grounded me in love and kindness and joy. And he said, "Just be here with me." And I said, after that beautiful grounding thing that he did spontaneously that he'd never done before, I said, "What made you do that?" He said, "Well, I just noticed that maybe you could have a break right now and just take a break and really enjoy just being."
Mm-hmm.
And when you got a partner like that, wow, it's wonderful. And, you know, that didn't happen by accident. It happened because I went within and I looked around to find out what it was about me that wouldn't allow love in my life for 2 whole years before I met him. And I learned to become my own beloved. And in so doing, I allowed love in my life. And it was not easy. It was kind of like passing through the eye of a needle at times. And I stuck with it. And your workbook is a great cleanup for me. And it's, you know, I could do it several times in my life and just reach new and new and newer and newer and newer levels of expansion.
Absolutely. These questions that are in there and the exercises, they're like triggers for your expansion. And just like the universe is continually expanding, our consciousness can be continually expanding.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and with that comes more, it's like I look at consciousness like an iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only 20% of it showing.
Mm-hmm.
There's only 20% we're aware of.
Right.
And there's this fabulous 80% that's just yearning to be expressed,
mm-hmm.
to be recognized, to be brought forth. And we will spend our lifetimes bringing it forth, or we will spend our lifetime suppressing it.
And like an iceberg, it's submerged.
It's submerged. It's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
It is all moment by moment, day by day, we sculpt who we are.
Right.
By the decisions we make.
Uh-huh.
And when we decide that we can let the wholeness come forth, that we can trust it, that we can love it, that we can know it, and that the reason it's coming forth is to allow us to make our energy input into the world, is, to me, it's just joyous to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just going to sit around looking at your navel and saying how wonderful you are.
Mm-hmm.
The greatness is coming out so that you can be in service to other people in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way to learn to love yourself, too. It's a way. It's
absolutely
one way. And, you know, we know we have wonderful people of service. And we also know, too, Joan, don't we, that they won't allow people to serve them.
That's
so there's no law of reciprocity going on there. So they're just giving, 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 and not allowing themselves to receive. And that's out of whack, too. That's not balance. So what would you say to the people who are the givers, because it's safer to give and it's very vulnerable to receive? What would you say to those wonderful people who just aren't allowing themselves to receive?
So I'd ask them to consider the following. If you just look at the word energy, and after all, we are beings of energy. And if there was an arrow going in that was the nourishing energy coming to you, and there was an arrow going out and it was the energy that you expend in the world, well, the sustainable condition is one in which what goes out into the world is replenished by what comes in and fills you.
Mm-hmm.
How can you be of service to people if instead of one arrow going out, they're like 10 of them because you're just doing,
mm-hmm.
and there's not much coming in?
Mm-hmm.
How sustainable is that? And are you serving them really? Because sooner or later, you're going to break down.
Right.
And when you break down, you're depriving not only yourself, but all the people that you could have benefited had you allowed yourself to live a sustainable life.
Right.
I mean, we talk about sustainable energy in terms of solar energy and other types of energy. Well, we've got to look. In fact, I did a Jolt of Joan this week on doing an energy audit when we're thinking about our taxes coming up.
Oh, boy.
What if we did an energy audit? Where is the energy going? How much of it is not being replenished? And if you can't run a business that way, you can't run a family that way, you can't run an organization that way, because it will disintegrate.
Mm-hmm.
It's not sustainable. And so looking at, I often ask people to write without thinking 50 things that nurture them.
Mm-hmm.
And do at least 5 of them every day.
Mm.
Because this is being foresighted enough to understand that, just like they tell you on the airplane, take the mask and put it on yourself first and then put it on your child.
You know, I hear that analogy so often, I can't even tell you, and it's so true.
And, you know, it sounds trite, but the image of it is so clear, of this woman sitting next to her child. And you would think, well, she should put the mask on the child first.
Mm-hmm.
But if she does, and the child has any problems, she won't be able to respond.
Exactly.
And so I think the reason so many people use it is it so encapsulates in image and in energy an idea that just is not that obvious to us in
mm-hmm.
our society.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not something we're taught, and we're only just learning it now with the new consciousness and the new, I see it in advertising. It's showing up everywhere by osmosis, the new way of thinking and the higher way of thinking and the way of expansion. It's just taking over, and it's subtle. And I see it everywhere. And if you're living from that place, I'm sure that you notice it more. And I believe, too, that people who aren't initiated, I'll put it, who are seeing this kind of subtle advertising, like even a catchphrase saying, if not now, when? Well, that could mean anything to somebody's life, depending on what's going on to them.
Right.
And, you know, it's very good that it's getting into our advertising, and we're seeing more and more positive media all the time. That's no accident, because there's a hunger for it, and it must be fed. And, you know, people like you are just offering up these great banquets that is my honor to make sure people find out about you and get to participate in this banquet, you know, as they choose to. So, you know, thank you for that, Joan.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about this, because there's so much here. The richness is just unfathomable.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's something that can be explored over and over and over again
mm-hmm.
without exhausting it.
Well, it gives you vitality to explore it.
Exactly.
Because this is your nature, your true nature. One thing Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith said in one of his sermons that I attended, he said, if you've got one prayer to pray, just one prayer that you can pray, mm-hmm. make sure it's for yourself.
Right.
Because if you do that, you're going to have a lot more to give to others.
That's right.
And, you know, people, there are a lot of people who don't even have a clue of their value.
Oh, I know.
They just don't know.
I know.
And, you know, I just, you know, love to think about a world where everybody realizes who they really are and realizes that to play small is to rip themselves off and to rip the world off, and to play big means that they're going to get to know themselves in all their glory, warts and all, and love every bit of themselves, no matter where they are or what's going on. And, you know, Reverend Michael Beckwith also did a sermon at a prison recently, and he told all the inmates that they could turn that prison into a house of transformation simply by the way they were thinking, and to go within and meditate and find out what's good about them and rehabilitate the parts of themselves that did not believe in their goodness. And it was just a beautiful thing that he did for this prison. He said that every single person there that he spoke to were absolutely on the edge of their seats listening. And, you know, those poor folks there, you know, they've just been thrown out like trash. And, you know, a lot of them have done things that have hurt a lot of people. And that was part of their path, and that doesn't mean that they can't turn their life around, no matter where they are, from right where they are. And even if they're behind bars, they can still do it and still be of service and still do great good in the world by writing and communicating and just by finding a way to tap into their goodness, don't you think?
Absolutely. In fact, I do a lot of research when I'm writing to be able to cite examples of things that are happening in our world, and I came across this program called the Prison Entrepreneur Program, PEP.
Right.
And it was started by a woman, Catherine Rohr, who was, I believe, a financial person. And one of the young prisoners had somehow, through mutual connections, gotten to her to have her help him do a business plan for his business when he got out of prison. And she started thinking about the number of people who were very creative in business, who the only way they knew how to do it was through illegitimate businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't that be fabulous if they could learn how to redirect the energy and put it into constructing businesses that would support them and support the world?
Absolutely.
And so she began this program, and now many business schools around the country, including Harvard Business School, contribute to the program. And what's amazing to me is that the recidivism, which is usually around 50% for people to go back to prison, the recidivism rate of their people that train through the Prison Entrepreneur Program is like 10%.
Mm.
And so you know it's working.
Right.
And that
wow,
is
that's a good
amazing.
Point. Yes, that's a very good point, because a lot of people got put in prison for being very clever and creative at things that were illegal.
That's right.
So the creativity is there. It's absolutely there.
Right.
And a lot of people make a lot of money at it.
That's right.
Even Reverend Michael did.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was a purveyor of some contraband there for a while and almost went to prison. And he prayed and said, God, if I end up not going to...
Kate, are you there?
Well, that was very interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's like a sunspot or something.
That's
I was talking
right.
and talking and talking, and I didn't hear anything, and then all of a sudden... You said, Joan, Kate, are you there? And I'm like, yes, I'm here. Didn't you hear what I said? What I was saying is that Reverend Michael said that if he ended up not going to prison, if he ended up turning his case around, that he would spend the rest of his life in service to others, which is exactly what he's been doing.
Right. Absolutely.
And it's quite public, so it's in his books and everything.
Yeah.
I'm sure he wouldn't mind I said that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was impressed years ago when I was leaving academia and had no idea of what I would be or where I would go. I read a lot of biographies and autobiographies to just see how other people found their way in the world. And so I read, I'm a great admirer of Winston Churchill and Eleanor Roosevelt and Gandhi and et cetera. And I was reading Albert Schweitzer's book, and he talked about the fact of how so many people through his life had told him how wonderful it was that he was working in Africa.
Hmm.
And I learned what I didn't know at the time was that he actually was a theologian, and he was an organ maker.
Hmm.
And when he read about the Congo and the need for people, doctors in the Congo, so he went to medical school after he was already a theologian with a parish and an organ maker.
Hmm.
And he read about it, and he went, and he said, so many people during his life said to him, isn't it wonderful that you've given up your life? And he said, oh, no, you don't understand. This is my joy to be of service in this. This is not a sacrifice for me. And I think when I've just finished writing Cellular Wisdom at Work, and we're just doing the edits now.
Wonderful.
Is that when we bring who we are and have it infuse what we do, the doing comes out of the being. And it isn't about, aren't you being such a person of sacrifice? It isn't about the caregiver who doesn't take care of himself.
Right.
It's in the flow of the energy of purpose and of the energy of fulfillment and meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that many people have said that our world is in a crisis of meaning, that the old stories don't work anymore, and we haven't fully informed the new stories, and we are in the between.
Yes.
And I think we are in that transition, and that we need the contribution of every single person
mm-hmm.
to navigate this and have us live as humans in the largeness of being.
Yes. Now, the Code of Authentic Living, Cellular Wisdom, I just love the title, The Code of Authentic Living,
yeah.
because the cellular wisdom reveals how fundamental truths for living and authentic fulfilling life are coded in the elegantly complex dance of chemical and energetic interactions within and between ourselves.
Yes.
And that's the part that it's almost experiential when you're working the workbook of how you take the person who is experiencing the workbook through the mechanics of how that happens.
Yes.
And in the context of what you've just written about and all the gold nuggets you've just exhumed, you're showing us how quite naturally it is for us to live from those gold nuggets.
Absolutely.
And
our cells do it effortlessly.
Truly.
Effortlessly.
Yes. And, you know, what would be the best way, the simplest way, the most direct way, Joan, to get our listeners to just go in search of their greatness, even if they think they're already cooked?
So the first thing I want to tell them is that the wisdom that is within our life force is not something we have to earn. It is something that is our birthright. If you are alive, that is the only prerequisite. It is there waiting for you to discover it, yearning for you to discover it. So I think what I would have people do is, one of my clients said, I am afraid to get quiet and go within. I don't know what I'll find.
Mm.
And I thought, well, look at it this way. And so I'm going to use the analogy of neurons. Neurons are the building blocks of the nervous system. They are the things that connect to each other and allow us to see and talk and move and hear. Well, most cells store nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
Neurons don't store any nutrients. They rely on the moment-by-moment supply from the blood to bring them the nutrients. So they live fully present in the moment. So the first thing I would say is for people who have not yet tasted their greatness, to forget about the past, that life comes to them fresh and new every single millisecond.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was a pause, if there was a hiccup, like there was a hiccup in your microphone,
yes,
you would stop existing.
Mm.
So even though you don't see that flow of energy coming to you fresh and new every moment, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore know that even if you've never known your greatness, all you have to do now is say, I'm ready. One of the first poems that I wrote, and you know this well,
mm-hmm.
was Who's There?
Oh, I love that one.
And in the asking who's there, in the poem, I reassure my inner self, I will not judge you.
Mm.
I invite you to come out now.
Mm-hmm.
I want to realize I am spirit. I want to know I am free.
Mm-hmm.
So we can free ourselves from any of our supposed restrictions that we have lived with.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to be there anymore.
Right.
They can go.
Mm-hmm.
And we can open up to a bigger flow of life.
Mm-hmm.
We literally shut down the flow of life by our limiting beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And when we open up to understand that this greatness is flowing to all of us, every single one of us, with absolutely no exception,
mm-hmm.
that if we open to it, it will start to teach us. And all we need to say is, yes, I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
When I first realized this, I used to joyfully just go around and say yes to the universe. I didn't know what I was saying yes to. I didn't know what I'd be doing. I didn't know anything. But I would just say, yes,
mm-hmm.
I'm ready.
Yes.
I want to know your greatness, is what I said to myself. And that's all you need to know, is
right.
the desire.
Right. And if you just start saying it, whether you feel it or not, eventually you will.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I have a friend who has some neck pain, and she knows that she's hanging on to past trauma that's causing the neck pain,
uh-huh.
and she wants to know how to let that go.
Uh-huh.
What would you say to her?
First thing I would say to her is pain comes from the nerves tensing up and particular pathways that are being activated. She needs to love herself a little bit more.
Or a lot more.
Sometimes we use the term, I'm a pain in the neck. And when we realize it or not, we're condemning ourselves. We're saying that that's who we are. Well, that's not the truth of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so the universe is going to mirror it back to wake us up.
Mm-hmm.
So that the pain eventually, because one of the earliest reactions of cells when they were in the process of forming was when there were single cells that did everything, multitasking even more than you, Kate.
Oh, my goodness.
They had to do everything. They
right.
had to ingest the food, digest the food, get rid of the food, move, detect noxious stimulus in the environment,
mm-hmm.
et cetera. They had to do all of it, reproduce everything
mm-hmm.
themselves.
Right.
The first reaction was to learn what was harmful and
right.
get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
So the universe knows how to wake us up, and how to wake us up is to give us pain because
mm-hmm.
we stop paying attention.
Right.
So the first thing I would say is when one is experiencing pain, to pay attention to what you're thinking, to what you're choosing,
mm-hmm.
to what you're doing, because you're not loving.
Mm-hmm.
You mustn't be loving, because if you were loving, that flow of energy wouldn't be restricted that way.
Right.
And it wouldn't show up as pain.
Right. And, you know, anger keeps us from loving a lot, too. And, you know, if we would stop to think about, you know, all these minutes I'm spending being angry, I could spend being happy. What am I doing? You could actually have a great revelation and an awakening and even an epiphany out of that if you would just stop to ask yourself the question.
That's right. So there's a question I often ask people to say, and it's a tongue twister,
mm-hmm.
and they often ask me to repeat it.
Okay.
So what is it you know that you don't know that you know about this. So I would ask your friend with the pain to say to herself, what is it I know that I don't know that I know about this? And be quiet and listen. And messages that are pre-verbal that she might have been pushing down because she may not have wanted to hear them. If she says, what is it I know that I don't know that I know, will start to come to awareness.
If she's ready.
Yes, if she's ready.
It takes willingness.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's why if you ask the question, that's meaning that you want to know the answer. When you say, what is it I know that I don't know that I know, that means you're ready to look at it.
Well, if she's listening right now, I know she's going to try that on for size.
Good.
And come up with an answer. Well, guess what? We are at the very last 60 seconds of our Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I told you that 55 minutes would come by like 15.
It's amazing, yes.
It is. And Joan, I want to thank you for being born, for choosing to incarnate. I want to thank you for hearing your calling. I want to thank you for acting on it. I want to thank you for all the wisdom you've gained from every life experience you've ever been through. And I want to tell you that all the pain you endured to get to be the person that you are, I'm so thankful that you overcame it and you transmuted it into this beautiful being who writes books like you do. And cellular wisdom for women, cellular wisdom for work, cellular wisdom for relationships, and anything else that comes out of you is absolutely a gift to our world and a blessing. And I want to thank you so much for being on our show tonight, and it is an honor to know you. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll be back next week with Lisa Nichols from The Secret. So stay tuned. And Joan, thank you again. Good night, everybody.
Good.